In verses 3:14 through 21, Paul breaks into the second prayer of the book of Ephesians, the first having been in 1:15 through verse 23. And now in this second prayer, he prays that we might know the full love of Christ and that Christ might dwell down and make himself at home in our hearts as members now of his body. The text reads, "On account of this, I bow my knees to the Father, out of whom every family in heaven and upon earth is named, in order that he might give to you according to the wealth of his glory," or his glorious wealth, "power, to be strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man, with the result that Christ dwell down through faith in your hearts, in love, being rooted and grounded, in order that you might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which goes beyond knowledge, which surpasses knowledge, in order that you might be filled in all the fullness of God. Now to the one who is able to do on behalf above all things exceedingly, of which we ask or think, according to the power which is energized in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever," or literally into the ages, "into all generations forever and ever. Amen." Paul in verse 11 or verse 14 picks up with the same phrase that he started in 3:1, "On account of this." He now picks up the prayer that no doubt he was prepared to start, and then went into this short parenthesis in discussing the mystery of the church. He says, "On account of this," on account of what we have seen in the first two chapters, "I now bow my knees to the Father." So Paul is praying, and he's praying to God the Father, out of whom, Paul says, every fatherhood in heaven and upon earth is named. Every family and every father, so to speak, of that family gets its name from the Father of all, and that is God the Father. And so Paul is praying to the one who is the sovereign of all fathers, and whether we're talking about in the heavenly realm or the earthly realm. And he prays in order that God the Father might give to you Gentiles who have believed in Christ, according to the wealth, his glorious wealth, and the power, according to the wealth of his glorious power, that you might be strengthened, that you might have this inner strength which is given to you through the indwelling Holy Spirit, and that this might impact your inner person, that with the result that Christ would make himself totally at home through faith in your hearts. The infinitive, to make himself at home, literally to dwell down. And so Paul's prayer is that through the power of the Spirit working in our inner being, we might see Christ making himself totally at home in our life and in our soul. And this will come through our faith in him, and it will work itself in the sphere of our mind and our total spiritual being. This is Paul's prayer. And then he goes on to say, with that result, being rooted and grounded in love, that the result should be, if Christ is truly dwelling down in our hearts, that we would be rooted and grounded and founded in love for others, because the love of Christ would cause that to spring forth from our lives. And then he goes on to say he also prays not only that we might have power through the Spirit to allow Christ to be fully at home in our lives and hearts, but also in order that we might be able to comprehend in a special sense and in a full sense with all the saints, with all fellow believers, what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And I'm wondering if Paul is not thinking about the work of Christ that has a breadth to it, that is able to take Jew and Gentile and bring them together into one new person. And the length of the work of Christ that spans two eternities. It began in eternity past when we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and it's concluded in eternity future, that in the ages to come, his glorious name might be praised, as we saw in chapter 2. And then to comprehend the work of Christ in its height and depth, he was able to take us when we were dead in trespasses and sins and walked according to this world and its lust and desires, and to raise us and seat us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus in chapter 2. And so I believe Paul wants us to lay hold with all the saints the magnitude and the breadth of all that Christ has done for us. And with the result of having laid hold of that, that we then might know experientially the surpassing love of Christ that goes beyond knowledge. The love for Christ and the love that comes as a result of our relationship belonging to Christ, that this love, Paul says, should pass all knowledge. And my prayer, the apostle, I believe, is saying, is that he wants the believers at Ephesus to know experientially the love which surpasses knowledge, the love of Christ. Christ's love for us displayed in all of these dimensions being worked out in a practical way in our lives so that we will keep the unity that Christ has created between Jew and Gentile and between fellow believers, and that we will evidence the love that he so richly poured out upon us. And then, as a result, in order that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. And I believe that Paul is finally saying that he prays that God's fullness of his presence would fill the believers at Ephesus in a way that they would in their relationship with others reflect the very presence of God filling them and indwelling in their midst and in their lives. The Apostle Paul then concludes this great doctrinal section with a final benediction. To the one who is able to do above all, exceedingly above all which we ask or think, according to the power which is energized in you. I believe he is praying to God the Father, who is able to do in us beyond anything that we would ask or even think. And this power is already being energized in us, Paul is saying. So, having worshiped the Father, who is able to do abundantly beyond whatever we would ask or think, by his divine power energizing in us day by day, to him be glory in the church. May his praise be magnified in the church and in Christ Jesus. May the Father's praise be magnified in Christ Jesus, the second person of the Godhead. And may this go unto all generations. May it continue from generation to generation, forever and forever. May this never cease, that God's glory would be magnified in the people of God, the church, and in his beloved Son, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Paul wants us in this prayer to understand and to grasp through the power of the Holy Spirit the reality that Christ needs to make himself at home in our hearts. And when that happens, that we then would be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would be able to comprehend with all the saints this breadth and depth and the length and height of his great love, that it is all-encompassing, which he displayed on our behalf, and that we then might really know that love experientially, which is beyond any kind of knowledge, any kind of Gnostic understanding, which was elevated, some feel, or being elevated in Ephesus, that to know the love of Christ far surpasses any other kind of experience and any knowledge. And as a result, with that goal, that God's fullness can permeate his people. This is Paul's prayer.